Psalm 77. Psalm 77 is a psalm of Asaph. And one of the things that's unusual about this psalm is that in Psalm 77 and Psalm 73, which is also of Asaph, he writes the theological premise of the psalm in the very first verse. So let's begin reading there. My voice rises to God, and I will cry aloud. My voice rises to God, and He will hear me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. In the night, my hand was stretched out without weariness. My soul refused to be comforted. When I remember God, then I am disturbed. When I sigh, then my spirit grows faint. You have held my eyelids open. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of long ago, and I will remember my song in the night. I'll meditate with my heart, and my spirit ponders. Will the Lord reject forever? And will He never be favorable again? Has His loving kindness ceased forever? Has His promise come to an end forever? Has God forgotten to be gracious, or has He in anger withdrawn His compassion? Then I said, it is my grief that the right hand of the Most High has changed. I shall remember the deeds of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. I will meditate on all your work and muse on your deeds. Your way, O God, is holy. What God is great like our God? You are the God who works wonders. You have made known your strength among the peoples. You have, by your power, redeemed your people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. The waters saw you, O God. The waters saw you, and they were in anguish. The deeps also trembled. The clouds poured out water. The skies gave forth a sound. Your arrows flashed here and there. The sound of your thunder was in the whirlwind. The lightnings lit up the world, and the earth trembled and shook. Your way was in the sea, and your paths in the mighty waters, and your footprints may not be known. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. So in this psalm, what we have is really a different perspective on an old issue. In Psalm 73, the theological truth is that God is good to Israel, especially to them who are of pure in heart. Well, what was the conflict in Asaph's soul? Well, he was looking at the wicked, and they seemed to be prospering. And he was looking at his own spiritual life, and it was like God, I'm not trying to be derogatory, but it was like God was on his case day and night. And so how do we handle that? And so that psalm gives us the answer to that. In this psalm, we have again that God is one who hears and answers prayer, verse 1. Does God hear and answer prayer? Answer is yes. Okay. But in the day of his trouble, he sought the Lord, and it seemed like God was not what? God was not answering. So how do you reconcile that? How do you reconcile truth that God is the one who hears and answers prayer, but here you're praying about something and it seems like God's not what? He's not hearing and answering. That's troubling. And so he proceeds to answer this. I call Psalm 77, this is my phrase, I call it the Abba Father of the Old Testament. Because in Romans 8, remember, when a believer gets in trouble, the Holy Spirit witnesses with our spirit, right? And the way He does that is that when we are pressed, what comes out of our mouth is just like our Lord in the Garden of Gethsemane. What comes out of our mouth is, Father, right? We pray. That's an evidence of the possession of the Holy Spirit. That when those pressures of life come, we ultimately will turn to who? We turn to God. Okay, this is exactly what Asaph is doing. Look at verse 2. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. In the night, my hand was stretched out without weariness. So is he in trouble? Yes. What's he doing? Praying. That's why I call this the Abba Father of the Old Testament. And so we have this theological truth. We have a description of his praying. We have a description, verses 7 through 10, of the theological conflict or the trial of faith that goes on in his soul. And I just want to remind us in verses 7, 8, and 9 that the answer to those questions is what? Will God reject forever? Answer, no. Okay, every one of those is an understood no. But Asaph is having to wrestle with this. Okay. And then he gets comfort and strength in verses 5 and 16 through 18. He ends up getting comfort and strength by remembering God's works and God's ways when God brought Israel out of Egypt. Okay. So here in verses 1 and 2 again, what we have in verse 1 is the theological premise that Asaph is saying right up front. My voice rises to God and I will cry aloud. My voice rises to God and he will hear me. So what's repeated here? My voice to who?
To God.
My voice to God. So what is he doing? He's praying. Right? How is he praying? Well, he's the subject. Right? This isn't we. Okay, most commentators take this as he's praying about some national crisis. He may be, but just by a plain reading of the text, it's I. He's doing this, right? It's my voice to God. The word rises is added to give clarity, but in the Hebrew it's just very plain. My voice to God. My voice to God. So he is praying, and he emphasized that twice. And I want us to note here in verse 1 that this prayer, my voice to God, is not silent praying. It's vocal praying, right? He says, my voice to God. Well, you can have a voice to God and you can pray silently, right? Okay, God hears your prayers that you pray in your spirit. Okay? But in this case, he says, my voice rises to God. I will cry aloud. That's vocal, isn't it? That's words coming out of his mouth. So whatever the trouble is, whatever the distress is that's going on in this man's life that brought him into this trial of his faith, whatever the trouble is, it's troubling him enough that it's really occupying his mind so that he literally gets on his knees, right? He lifts up his arms to God and he talks how? Out loud. Okay? So this is distressing to him. And the theological premise that he's coming to God on is also given in verse 1. My voice to God, I will cry aloud, my voice to God, and what he is confident of from the Scripture is that God hears the prayers of his people. Now that just doesn't mean like he hears it and acknowledges it. When the Bible says God hears prayer, it's understood that he's not only heard it, he's what? He's answered that prayer. Okay, so he knows that, that believers may draw near to the Lord in prayer with the assurance of it being heard or it being answered. Okay, and we have New Testament verses about this, right? This is the confidence, John would say, that if I pray anything according to His will, He hears us. And we know that if He hears us, then we have the petition that we've requested of Him. Amen? Is that a promise? Does not the Bible say, O God, Thou who hearest prayer, does God not invite us to come? Amen? Well, brethren, He wouldn't say, now, come to me and pray, but I just want you to know I'm never going to answer. He's wanting us to come because He wants to hear, and He wants to what? He wants to answer. Now, Asaph, I'm going to read in a little bit. Asaph, I'm sure that if he was here, he would agree that Asaph does not believe that if he prays something contrary to the will of God, that God's going to give it to him. Everybody with me? Okay? And I think we're going to glean from how this psalm goes that would not be the case with Asaph. He is praying something that would be in agreement with God's person, God's interest in his life. Okay? So let's just look at verse 1 again. God, my voice rises to God, I will cry aloud. The word cry doesn't necessarily mean that he's shouting. Okay? The Hebrew term here can mean to shout out loud, or it can just mean to call out to. So I could say, Bob, right? I'm calling out to him, or I won't do this. I could really yell, Bob. Okay, either one of those, that Hebrew word encompasses all of that. We do know that it is urgent and it is vocal. So here's the theological premise. Here's what we know about God. Believers can draw near to the Lord in prayer with the assurance, with the confidence that God what?
Answers.
God will hear. He will answer. All right. How many of you believe that? How many of you have ever prayed about something and didn't get the answer you think? You're a theological mess. My point is this. We know that's true. But in walking in the light of that fact, we do enter into the same trial of faith that Asaph is entering into. And that's what makes this psalm so encouraging. Isn't it encouraging when you find your situation in the saints of old? And isn't it even more encouraging when the saints of old answer your question? That's why we have our Bibles. So, again, what's the theological premise? Believers can draw near to God, and God will answer or hear. Okay, you ought to write that by that verse. That's exactly what he is saying. Now, in verses 2 and following, down through verse 10, he is describing my voice to God. Okay, he said, my voice to God, twice in verse 1, didn't he? Okay, now he's going to give the description of his praying. So in verse 2, in the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. In the night, my hand was stretched out without weariness. My soul refused to be comforted. And we'll continue on, Lord willing, next Wednesday. Now, what is going on? Well, the word trouble here can refer to what we really think of. We really think of like trouble. It could refer to internal distress. You ever get distressed about something and you want to pray about it? Or it can just refer to need. You ever have a need that you need to take to the Lord? Okay, I do think there is some urgency with whatever this trouble is. So in the day of my trouble, in the day of his distress, I sought who? I sought the Lord. Now, brother, I want to ask you this without, you don't have to answer this, but I do want to ask you this question and force you to answer it in your head. What does it mean to seek the Lord? Because, brethren, it's not another phrase that means I prayed. I think that's the way most believers take the phrase. Instead of saying, I could come up to you and say, you know, I prayed, you would say, right? Nod your head. I could come to you and say, I sought the Lord, and I do think you would think I what? I prayed. But they are not the same thing. Praying and seeking the Lord are two distinct activities. So in his distress, look at verse 2, did he pray? We know he prayed because in verse 1 he said, my voice to God. All right. But in the day of his distress, he sought the Lord. Okay, now let me build on this just for a second. It does mean that in the day of his distress, Asaph did not seek the devices of man. So he didn't sit here and say, how can I get out of this? You ever done that? Mm-hmm. I've done that. You've done that. He didn't say, well, I want to come up to this brother and sister and say, here's my problem. Can you help me out? Maybe I'm not thinking about something. Can you tell me what to do? Could you give me some money? Right? Could you go talk to that person? You know, he's not doing that. In the day of his distress, he's not Googling it. In the day of his distress, he's what? He's seeking the Lord, which means that he's not seeking man's devices, but he is seeking the person of the Lord. Everybody following me thus far? At least in this passage, I have not looked at every passage of seeking the Lord in our Bibles. But in this psalm, seeking the Lord, as I mentioned, does not mean praying to the Lord. Seeking the Lord means he is searching out God, or he is investigating God. He is seeking who? The Lord. He is searching out the Lord. He is investigating the Lord. Now, I'm going to comment on that in just a minute. But what I do want to note here, brethren, is that Asaph is not being passive. Now, what I mean by that? I mean that he's not getting on his knees, praying about it, and going on with life. What's he doing? He's praying about it, right? And he is seeking the Lord. What does that mean? He is investigating the Lord. He is searching out the Lord. Both of those things are going on at the same time. Well, what does it mean to investigate the Lord? Well, I can answer that from this psalm. Look at verse 5. When I considered what?
The days of old.
The days of old. Everybody see that? Okay. Look at verse 3. When I remember who?
God.
Look down at verse 11. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Look at verse 12. I will meditate on all your work and muse on your deeds. What does it mean to investigate the Lord? What does it mean to seek the Lord? What does it mean to search out the Lord? Is he praying about a distress? Is he wanting deliverance? Yes, but he's not passive. He is praying about it, but he's also in his soul. He is combing through the scriptures to find out what? Look at verse 13. God's way. In other words, brethren, look, he's praying about a distress. He wants deliverance, right? How's God going to do it? Because it seems like, at least at this point, that God hasn't answered. So he wants to know. He does not doubt that God hears and answers. Amen? But how does God do that? And so where do you go? He's searching the Lord. He's seeking the Lord. How do you seek the Lord? You open your what? You open your Bible, you look at his ways, and I know where Asaph ended up at, don't you?
Exodus.
He ended up thinking about what illustration? Moses is sitting there before the Red Sea. So he's thinking about God's deeds. He's combing through the scripture. He might have thought about Daniel. He might have thought about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He might have thought about Nebuchadnezzar. He might have thought about David when Saul was chasing him around the mountain, right? He's thinking about God's ways in relationship to what he's asking God to relieve him of. And his mind settles down in Exodus. Specifically, when Israel was bottled up, and who was behind them?
Egyptians.
And on each side of them were mountains, and in front of them was... See, that's what kind of distress he's in. He's in a distress that he can't get out of. So how's God going to answer this? That's where his mind ends up at. And brethren, that's what I want us to see here tonight. This is the primary thing I want us to see. He's not only praying, he's seeking. Remember what Jesus said? Ask, seek, knock. Ask, seek, not. Ask, seek, not. He's not just praying and saying, Lord, I need $50. I got this bill. And then you go and sit on the porch and wait for a beautiful bird to bring it to you. He's thinking, okay, how does the Bible say that God would give me what I'm praying for? How would I know that? Well, brethren, how does God normally answer monetary needs?
Word.
So for instance, I was sitting here thinking about this. I'll give you an instance of my life. This is when my wife and I were in mission. So this was a long time ago. In fact, it was so long ago, I was in my mid-20s and had hair. That's a long time ago. And my pastor believed that when you were called, then God would provide for you. And so what you do is you would say, I'm called to be a missionary. So you begin deputation, but you don't wait until you get, you know, enough support to support your family. You know, if you're a real man of God, then you just quit your work. You just quit. Like, And he would tell me, he would say, "Go out by faith, brother. God will provide." Well, I was young. I mean, I hadn't, like, there's a lot in Scripture about this. So we had to go. We had to go to Mission Institute. We had to go for 3 weeks to what was called Mission Institute so we could learn to do missions. Here was the problem. I didn't have any money to go. But I couldn't go. If I didn't go, I couldn't go on deputation to get funds. So I had to what? I had to go. So I go, and literally, I don't remember the amount, but basically, I spent every nickel I had to get there. And I mean, the car had, it was on E. And I did get there. All the way from South Carolina, all the way down to Mississippi. And I was like, "Well, it's nice we're here, but how are we going to get home?" So, would you call that a distress? Okay, I'm distressed. Okay, I don't know if my wife was not. Okay, she was distressed. She's nodding her head. Okay, so what do you do about it? What do you do? What do believers do when they're in distress? They pray. Well, I was like, I had no idea. And about midway through, this is about a week and a half through Mission Institute, sometime early afternoon, there was a break. We had classes from 8 o'clock till 9 at night for 3 weeks. And there was a there was a break. And one of the men that attended the church there got up, and he was a plumber. And he got up, he said, "I really need some help. I've got a job here that I got to do. And I could use 3 or 4 men to come and help." Well, he's going through this about help, and I'm sitting here thinking to myself, I better get my hand up, because you know what? There's going to be a ton of people here who want to go out and do this. Right? So he says, "Is there anybody out there to help?" Well, I raised my hand real quick, and a friend of mine who was with me, he raised his hand. We were the only ones. So he needed 3 or 4 men. You can imagine the job that he needed. And so he wasn't upset, but he was really surprised that there was only 2. And my friend was in the same position I was in. And so here we are, and we're there. And, you know, my vocation was in engineering. I mean, I'm really good at holding pencils and working in offices and drawing lines and doing think work. This was a plumber. And he did not need me to do the easy job. What he needed was for me and my friend to go out and dig a hole for a septic tank. And this was in Mississippi in August. And where we were at was right next to the Mississippi River. And if you think it's humid in Richmond, if you would go there, you would thank God for the humidity here. Literally, I'm not making this up. It was 100 degrees, about 100% humidity with the sun shining. I mean, even the locals talked about how humid it was. And so we get handed this shovel, and we're out digging. Well, here's the problem. The plumber guy tells me and my friend, he said, "Be at the job place. Here's the address. You go down here, blah, 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 take a left." And I thought to myself, you know what? The only problem is I don't have any gas. Remember, I told you I got there and it was on E. But I had to get to the place, right? So I get in the car and I travel this place. And you know what happened? I ran out of gas right at the job site. When I rolled up, the car died. And we worked. Now, I had to work between sessions because I had to be in the classes. I just couldn't be out of the classes. So, you know, we're doing off and on working. And, you know, we're talking about a huge hole. And it was at least 11 feet, 10 feet, 12 feet deep. So that's what we did. And you know what? That man saw my car come in. He says, "There's something wrong with your car." And I said, "Well, I think it's out of gas." He said, "Don't worry about it." He filled up my car. We worked there. And because me and the other friend, he needed three or four men. But because we're the only ones, he was too generous. And not only did my car get filled, not only did I have some money, I had enough money to get back home and to take care of us for a little while so we could get back on the road. Now, what's the point?
You had to work for it.
The point was, if I would have said, "Lord, I need money," and the guy got up and said, "I need some men to help me with my plumbing," but I said, "Oh no, God's going to take care of me," I'd still be in Natchez, Mississippi. Everybody with me? Okay. Here's what we do, brethren. We pray for people to be saved, but we won't give them the gospel. You might as well not pray. Because people don't get saved because we pray. People get saved because they hear the word of God. So it's not I pray and I'm passive. No, I pray and I need to seek the Lord. I need to investigate the Lord so that I can know His way in what I'm praying about. Everybody with me? And that's what He's doing. In the day of my trouble, verse 2, I sought the Lord. In the night, my hand was stretched out without weariness. So when was He doing His praying? He was praying at night. And we know that because it says in verse 4 that God held His eyelids open. He couldn't what? Couldn't sleep. He probably had responsibilities during the day, don't you think? So at the nighttime, when He should have been sleeping, sleep fled. He prayed and He kept praying, and His soul, look at verse 2, refused to be comforted. Now the word comforted here means to find consolation. In other words, Asaph kept praying, and his soul refused superficial consolations that would cause him to stop praying. Remember verse 1. What is verse 1? My voice to God. I can draw near to God, and God will hear my prayers. Now, here's what we can say. We can say we're praying about something that's scriptural. But then we don't see anything happening, and we say, "Well, you know, God didn't hear me. Or God's not going to answer that. Or I'm tired praying about it." What are we doing? We're consoling ourselves, right? Asaph refused that type of consolation. Why? Because Asaph wanted God to what? To answer the prayer. And he wasn't satisfied with God not going to answer it because he knows God hears and answers prayer. Amen? So he refused to be consoled because of verse 1, that God hears our cry and He answers. And probably also because, you know, he was in a situation and he had to be delivered. So, brethren, I want to encourage us that when we think about praying, we're going to pray about things tonight. Okay? In some cases, you can't do anything. In some cases, we can. We can pray about our brother who's passed to be with the Lord, can't we? We can pray that God will comfort his wife, can't we? But it might be you write a card or a note so that you'll be the one who can provide the comfort. Amen? That's God's way with this. Amen? And so what we do in our situations of life is we pray about it, but we also go to the text to find out how God responds. And you know what is encouraging to me? Who's praying in this psalm? Asaph, right? Does he have a distress? On what level would you put his distress compared to the whole nation's distress in Exodus? Would you say his distress is more? I would think it would be less too, wouldn't you? And yet, he's going to find the answer in God's dealing with a greater distress to his own little bitty distress. And brethren, that tells me something too, that God is consistent in his ways. So let's go.